Welcome. Hey, this is Live Financial Talk Radio. Here to talk about your money, the market news, interest rates, what else? Tariffs. I think some of all that had to do with the slide the market had today. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us with a text or a call from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. It's on the front there. I made it as easy as possible. You're just a couple of thumb pushes away from getting a little bit of advice and guidance on that financial issue. In fact, it was such a popular issue on our weekend edition for the Saturday Spectacular, the weekly wrap, that if we wanted to review all the calls, we couldn't do it all for the rest of the week. I mean, that's how many calls we had. Now, we do this every day at 7. We do the 1-hour show Monday through Friday. Saturdays, though, 3 hours. And it's a little more caller happy. You know, we don't get to choose when people call, but we had so many on Saturday. And this isn't a complaint. We absolutely love it. So it's a great place. It's a great start to maybe ease some of that burden that you're worrying about. 504-260-0995. Although when we get to the numbers segment today, you'll also know that there's probably a little bit on people's minds that just has to do with the daily news and what's going on. Also, we previewed over the weekend, and we have it for you today, the retirement reform that's starting to work its way through Congress. It's actually, pen has been put to paper, and someone has submitted it to a committee, and it's doing the weird sausage-making legislative trick of there's some dinky bill where they're changing the boundaries of a national park and they just shoved it in there as an amendment. Look, all that aside, we're just going to let you know how this stuff affects your money and how you can go ahead and position yourself to be in the best spot possible should this stuff come to fruition. I'm also kind of tickled here, Gregory, because I saw yesterday online there was someone took a picture of a gas station on the North Shore, and it was right off the Causeway approach up there, and gas was $1.99. That's right. It was under $2 again. Now, the national average is somewhere around $2.40, $2.45. For most of us here in the listening area, it's really about somewhere between $2.10 or $2.15, give or take a little bit. But we've actually seen it again, gasoline under $2. That's great, because last time this happened, we kind of felt a little gasoline boost. We people had extra money, and that actually turned into some, you could feel it turn into economic action there. This less money going to gas means it gets to go to other things, and we're kind of approaching that again. And there's a lot of reasons for it this time. You have the glut of oil. The United States has broken its previous record that was held all the way back in the 70s recently of oil production. And then on top of that, OPEC wasn't quite meeting their quotas. Big shocker there. But Saudi Arabia announced, I think it was a week or two ago, it was right around Thanksgiving, that they're not even going to bother pretending to follow the quotas anymore that they've been pretending to follow since that big meeting in 2016 we told you about on this show. And then I saw yesterday Qatar is leaving OPEC. They announced their intention to say, we're not going to be part of this cartel thing anymore, which is, there's got to be a lot more to that story, because Qatar and Saudi Arabia haven't been getting along very swimmingly, and a lot of those OPEC countries don't really get along that well, and then there's the whole Russia factor. So the oil industry is a bit of a mess everywhere except for here, apparently. We're just killing it.
Doesn't Qatar have a king?
Yes, they do.
So he probably doesn't like the other king telling him what to do.
No.
And plus, to say, hey, you're going to have to cut back. So, dude, people's going to be all unhappy. We've got to pump.
That's so
their
summary.
It's simplified, but that's really what it comes down to. All those kingdoms over there, and the rest are ruled by somebody else as well. But when it really comes down to it, those host societies are built on oil, and when oil prices drop, revenue drops. So that, and then all of a sudden, as the group said, well, we're going to have to dial it back to get it back up. Oh, we got to take even less for a while. And what if it doesn't work? Because what you said was going to happen is this would shut down the U.S. Well, they're pumping away. They're making money. And so we're going to cut back, and they're going to still produce more. This isn't working. We're out. We're going to pump. He didn't say that. They just said we're out. But no, we're not. Basically saying, yeah, we're out because I'm not going to the meeting and I'm not agreeing to cutting back.
That's exactly what's going to happen. That Qatar's getting out of OPEC specifically because they're just going to pump away.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, if you don't want to be in the cartel, you have the freedom to do what you want. And that's going to be good for gas prices.
We've seen the meetings where they all left out the back door, so to speak. So there's no, remember? I don't know. It seems like it was just yesterday, but it was years ago. They had all the mics out because they didn't come to an agreement. They just bolted. They had all the mics out, and I think one guy showed up.
Yeah, I remember that. There was one or two guys, and they weren't even sitting next to each other. They're at disparate ends of the table, so yeah, it looked super awkward.
All these mics and nobody there, basically.
So that's going to be great, though, for the common man getting gas under $2 a gallon again. I'm pretty pumped about it, too. No pun intended. Just, there's just so much economic news going on. On top of that, the markets are continuing their volatility. And after a couple of actually a nice little run up there for the last week or so, things, fortunes do not stay the same very long in a market like this. But a lot of this is being driven by the bond world. From what I understand, you understand the fundamentals of this more than me, but, bonds are getting a lot of attention as of late. Why more so usual? Why more so now than usual, Gregory? What's with the hyper-focus on bonds?
Well, bonds are a lot more important than they think, and then the inversion of the 2-year and 10-year. And look, we had a caller on Saturday's show call about it that we were talking about the 10 and 30, but actually I think we were giving warning about the 10 and 2 inverting and could be even scary. What if the 10 and 1 year inverts? Could be worse, but this is just kind of gets, here's what it is. Doesn't mean this is right and it's a predictor that works, and you learn from history to create caution. It doesn't mean history is going to exactly repeat itself, but it gives you pause that, this is interesting. Oh, the last 10 times this happened, 80% of the time this happens. So it gives you that kind of pause there, and doesn't necessarily, now from that we'll give direction, but I've been saying for a while to dial things back, be careful. Today was an ugly market day, but not ugly for our firm, because we're holding considerable amount of cash. If you follow the show, listen, firm clients have gotten emails basically said our position is we're selling and dialing things back. We, notify everybody when we were exiting the indexes, which pretty much means so goes the market, so goes your accounts. If you're in mutual funds and ETFs for the most part, go small, mid, large cap. Okay, there you are. NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow. And they all had sell signals, and our whole thing is it was going to go down, and it turns out we were right. I hate it, but we were, and we kind of pride ourselves on being able to have an idea of what's coming, and I have concerns about the next few weeks as well. Hey, I'll predict something about the market tomorrow. It's not going down because the market is closed in honor of 41st president.
Well played. I was like, well, that's a bold prediction, but yeah, I forgot they're closed. I'm not going to be.
I know a number of people have. I had Cody text me. He says, market's closed tomorrow. I said, yeah. Oh, I just became aware of it. I didn't see it as any big deal.
Well, Cody should have listened to our show on Saturday. We broke the news because Trump announced that during our show. All right, we started at 10 a.m. He announced at 11, and we had it before the end of the hour. We were telling you about it.
Yeah, I saw the look on your face there. You're like, well, this is interesting, making a bold prediction about tomorrow. It won't go down tomorrow, but it will not go up either because the market is closed, and we have concerns about Thursday. And, coincidentally, this is after today, that's a good pause.
Yes.
It turns out a good cooling off period to regroup because now, and who knows? It could have sold off more tomorrow. It could do that on Thursday, but it won't tomorrow. But, you know, on the, either way, if the market had been open more, hey, it could have been a bounce. We're bouncing back and forth. But what's likely to end up in a few days, I think, further down. Because, you know, we were going over charts today. I've shown you this many times, James, but you kind of look like what we were discussing about the move up and hitting that, you know, what was that next level of resistance? And then it turns out, we did break through what I was concerned about, but not much. And then all of a sudden it stalled and we've been moving backwards. And today was a great leap off the cliff. And I think we, you know, the support level of where this stopped is important, but we've got some other things to look at a little bit further that this could bounce back off of it, or we could go a good bit further down from this standpoint.
You know, a lot of the market movement today was credited toward a little tweet storm from our president.
Well, before you go there, one of the things I thought was interesting Monday morning, and, you know, they supposedly, we've got an agreement with China. We're going to pause and work on this and get it done. And then Xi ended up down in South America somewhere.
Buenos Aires.
Yeah, and there he's traveling around doing deals and stuff. And here's what's going on. We're at war with China. It's just not the war you thought. There's no bombs falling, bullets fired. It's financial swords. It's a financial war. And who's going to win this, us or them? They're winning right now.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. When was the
back. Winning at Life, Daily Wrap, Live Financial Talk Radio. Get the phone so you can make the call. 504-260-0995. Reach out. Let's talk about your money. Questions about Social Security, market, annuities, fixed or variable. What are income riders? What about pension lump sums? About ETFs, exchange-traded funds? 504-260-0995. If you want to reach out and text us or email us, you can do that through the app, Winning at Life app. It's your wallet's favorite app. So it's a free download, one-time login. Yeah, just go ahead, do that. You can be connecting with us. There's a dashboard, a lot of resources and information there as well. So once again, 504-260-0995. I am your host, Gregory Ricks, and James Parker. So when we went to break, I was talking about China. James was going to talk about Trump's tweet, and we'll get to that just in a second. But I saw that the market got excited on Friday and then especially yesterday. But what I thought was interesting yesterday morning is, you know, we've had Trump explaining things, but from China's standpoint, I thought they were quite silent about everything. So the silence kind of, to me, spooked me. So we had the big rally yesterday, and I'm like wondering, why is it going up so much? They just did a pause. They don't have an agreement. And if I didn't want the deal I have to end, and I didn't want to have to cave, and then I'm like, you know what? I need time to figure this out, how I end up in a better spot. What would I rather do? Get in there and negotiate today, or let's put this thing off? You know, if I'm having to give up stuff, when would I rather give it up? Now or later?
Definitely later.
And then I'm looking at politics over there in that U.S. of A, and then House takes over in January. I don't know. Heck, might get lucky. You know, Trump's out in 90 days. You know, that's what they could be thinking. Now, Xi, is he going anywhere?
No.
No, he's got a lifetime gig.
Until Trump, he dies.
Trump, you know, everybody dislikes him over in his country, and he's over here giving us trouble on trade deal. If he went away, we probably are good status quo. I'm just throwing things out there that we have a run-up because, we're possibly going to get a deal. Well, I'm not feeling the deal. I need more from it than hype. hyperbole. You agree?
Oh, yeah. Look.
So that's what I was thinking. So I was surprised by the big gain, which if we had had, instead of a gain, a couple hundred point drop on the Dow, then we'd be right about where we are today. So you had a big gain, bigger drop, and it's your realization is, you know, this thing may not work out. And then a couple of days ago, we had the yield curve inverse, which is an ominous thing that says, you know, there's going to be some more problems down the road.
Jennifer Covington, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Jennifer?
Hi, how are y'all? I'll try not to be nervous. I don't like this, but
oh, it's easy. You've talked on the phone before.
Oh, it's I talk on the phone all the time.
Okay.
My family tells me I talk too much. However, I have a question. I'm 57 and a half. You're talking about Roth conversions. I mean, IRA conversions. I have probably only about $225,000. That's total. Most of that is in a regular IRA. I'd like to, the more I listen to you, convert more. But I thought, do I have to wait till 59 and a half?
You do not. You can do conversions at any time. There's no penalty to convert money from IRA to a Roth. There's no income limits on conversions, no time period. You can do it now or you can do it 20 years from now. You could have done it 10 years ago.
Well, no, I had to take money out 3 or 4 times. I was in a desperate situation and I paid penalties and taxes that were unbelievable. So I haven't touched anything in a year. And I'm afraid to do anything with anything. You know, I've got a cash account too, probably $50,000, but I need to make sure that if I do this, I'm on disability and I just can't afford any. How about the taxes?
So what do you think your tax liability is going to be from an income standpoint? Are you, you receiving any taxable income?
$300 a month from an ex-husband, but otherwise my disability payment is non-taxable.
So you really don't have any taxes. So then if you're converting, and I'm not sure why you're converting the IRA to a Roth, but what if you did, if it's worth $25,000 and you're converting it, whatever your personal tax bracket is, less the standard deduction, well, your income less standard deduction puts you in a tax bracket. You know, it's just real simple math. It sounds like your tax exposure somewhere around 10% and maybe some state tax.
It's $3,600 a month. That's, I mean, a month. A year, at 3 times 12, 3,600 yeah. is what they, and which is nothing. Last year was the first year I paid nothing. I'm living in a house that's paid for. So.
Well, you're going to create a little bit by if you were to convert that $25,000 IRA to a Roth. That is going to be a taxable amount, plus that $3,600 or $4,000 you're getting in annual income. So that's $29,000 minus standard deduction puts you at about $17,000, 10%. You know what? Maybe your taxes. $1,700 or something for that. I'm not a CPA. I'd rather you talk to Jude Heath about that. But why are you wanting to convert? Now, here's a reason to consider converting it, because your tax is really low is one of the reasons.
Yeah.
The other is why are you seeing benefit? How is it helping you to switch it to a Roth that grows tax-free?
Eventually, I'd like to know that everything that's in there is non-taxable at the end. I don't know. It's from listening to you.
Okay. Well, how long is this money going to work? You've got about $50,000 in emergency money, it sounds like. You got $25,000 in IRA. Do you have other money saved elsewhere, 401k somewhere? Other things.
No.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I thought I heard $225,000 in that IRA.
That is total. So I would say $75,000 is in a Roth
Okay.
And the rest is in the taxable form of an IRA.
And that is how much? 150?
That would be 150, yeah.
Okay, I misunderstood. I only picked up the 25.
But between the two of us, we got it.
Yeah.
Y'all are great.
Well, that's a game changer. That's a pretty big tax deal there. Here's one of the things to think about doing it with your tax situation low is tax bracket management or strategic conversion. So what you look at is converting it over the next few years to keep it in that 10% range.
So there. Maybe $18,000 a year, do it, or like incrementally.
Yeah, let's see. Do I have my tax brackets pulled up here?
I've got the 2019 brackets. Does that help?
Yeah, it's basically the same. So you're single, widow?
Single, live by myself. Yes, sir.
Yeah, 12%.
And my broker is only an investment broker, not an investment planner. And I have learned so much in the last 6 months to a year from listening to multiple shows, but I love your show.
Thank you. Yeah, it looks like you're needing to be somewhere under, you know, you've got a standard deduction, and that's why you need to talk to somebody, at least run a tax scenario saying, for example, if you converted $25,000 a year, mm-hmm. does that keep you into the 10% tax bracket? You're wanting, since you basically don't pay taxes, you're doing a conversion, you want to keep that at the lowest bracket, then you really win. Otherwise, you go doing a larger amount, and boom, next thing you know, individuals with incomes over $39,000, you're at 22%. So individuals with income over $9,700, you can be at 12. So you could do more up to 30, you know, from 19, let's see, from 9,700 to about 39,000 looks like in the 12% tax bracket. I don't like
yes,
this.
Yes, sir, but I need to understand. I must pay taxes on this money that I didn't pay taxes on, and I'd like to get rid of all of that and convert it to a Roth period.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to do, but you're probably needing to do a little bit over several years, not the whole amount, but you need to stay under $38,000 to keep it at 12%.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. Thanks for hanging in there with us. This is the Daily Wrap. It is live financial talk radio, just like Jennifer from Covington. You can call up and have a conversation with us. It sounded like first-time caller for her, so awesome. But talking on the phone is talking on the phone. It's easy, right? I think so. Now, if they had cameras on you and such, and, you know, I've done TV. James does some TV on one of the local news station, fills in. But we've done a few years ago. We had a TV show we were doing, and you know what? Cameras on you. I'd say that's a little bit different than talking on the phone.
Yeah, it takes a lot of the fun out of it.
It takes a lot of fun. You kind of like have to be perfect. Yeah, the TV show stressed me out, so I'm the one that canceled it. Nobody else. I called it a day after we did that for like a couple years. I think
two years.
Yeah, 2 years, and
that
was
enough.
Good.
That's enough.
Yeah, that was enough. Now, I want to explain a little bit more what I was talking with Jennifer about. She had called in, and she is thinking about doing a Roth conversion. And one of the core reasons we want to think about that for income in retirement and such is, are we converting it at a lower tax bracket than what we're going to have later? That makes the decision a lot easier. One of the other reasons is if you're leaving behind money to heirs, to beneficiaries, are you wanting to leave them a tax-infested account or a tax-free account? If I'm leaving money behind and I can do something about it that I intend for this money to leave on, meaning go to my beneficiaries, I would rather leave them tax-free accounts versus taxable accounts. Even if I couldn't necessarily solve the tax bill, I'm going to convert it before I die, because they can't inherit it an IRA and then convert it to Roth. All they can do is take taxable distributions. But if I've converted it before I die, it is converted. It's a Roth account when they receive it. The estate can deal with my taxes. That's how I look at it personally. And what she was looking to do with about $150,000 is do a conversion and get that money to where it is all going to be tax-free in the future on distributions she may be taking herself or leaving behind. And one of the things that makes it intriguing is she has income, disability, and a little bit above that, but she really has no taxable income. So that gives her the opportunity to be into a really low tax bracket. So one of the things I was looking at on that is where we are from rates on individuals. So in that 12% tax bracket range, because she said she is an individual, not a married couple. So in the 12% bracket, that's $9,526 to $38,700 is in the 12% bracket. Now, for her to get into the 10%, she's basically up to $9,525. So she could go in smaller amounts there with the standard deduction, probably could do a conversion. And we would have to play with the formulas. I'd really prefer you to talk to your tax professional or the one that's a member of our Total Wealth Authority, which is Jude Heath. But you've got a $12,000 standard deduction that helps you with that also. So, and let's just use the 12%, because we know there's some range, because you can kind of say, well, she's probably going to be able to hypothetically say convert $35,000 a year. So that probably gets her fully converted in, say, somewhere about 5 years out, yeah, with that increment there. And she stayed minimal taxes, so say 12%-ish federal and 3% state, so that's about 15 there. Just going to take a bit longer if she's trying to press it down and keep it in that 10%. But that's a great way to look at it, is like, gosh, yeah, that is an opportunity. Sometimes we'll have retirees that are going – that they've positioned themselves that maybe for a year or two when they're starting retirement, that they are going to live off of non-qualified funds. That means after tax money, that no tax due. They're just, hey, we're going to spend principal for a couple of years, so we're not going to really have a tax basis. We're going to do some Roth conversions for a couple of years there and get some money moved over. And once again, you're managing the tax brackets in that case. So unique opportunity for her. It just, I'm not one for doing it all at once, because on $150,000, that's putting her at 24% tax bracket right there. So yeah, that's like, yikes, to give up a quarter of that money. I'd rather spread it out over 5 years.
This is a small benefit, but don't discount the convenience of not being subjected to required minimum distributions like a regular IRA would be. At least you have a little flexibility there. It's probably not why she's doing it, but.
Yeah, and I don't think we got her age. You know, there's always questions to ask, but fundamentally what she was talking about, lump sum versus that. But still, you know what? Giving up 12% of the assets versus 24%, I'd rather give up 12%. Keep that other 12%. So that's why I'd be more interested in doing it strategically, just over a few years. But age could play into that, and she might have other reasons to hurry it up. I don't know if that's health or something like that, but that's why we would have a sit down meeting in the office, come in for a visit, and kind of we'll work through the math, have a discussion about these things, and ask those other questions, look for some of the other underlying reasons, just to make sure this all makes sense to do that. Okay, back to the market. And I just want to point out a couple things that gives us a little concern here as far as what's going on numbers that are pivotal probably for Thursday, where what did the S&P close at?
Are you going to do the numbers here?
I want that number.
Okay. Oh, I just clicked off of that to go look up something for Jennifer. It was down 3%.
Yeah. And it closed at?
Sorry, the numbers page is loading. Okay. 2700.06, 2700 even.
So some of our concern is just right below that. Can it stop right there? Kind of, you know, 2690s pivotal. Below that is 2666 is another concern. And then, gosh, it gets crazier if we get around 2621. So it could break through right there and just continue down, because we're looking at some previous moves in the market. So let me pull up a different chart here. Do I have that still open? Yeah, I do. I was that. So where might this move down to? I'm thinking we could see 2640, 2620. That doesn't mean that we're having a down day on Thursday when the markets reopen. We could have it move up, but the continuation of this cycle, this down cycle, can have some up moves mixed in, but it'll continue its down, where if this thing doesn't, you know, have a stop at 2700, we could see a move down around 2640, 2620. It could go further. Just that's the concern, is because what I'm looking at when we had the market moving down back early October created that 344.74-point drop over a few days there. Then it moved back up, then moved lower, then moved back up, moved lower. So the cycles are lower highs with lower lows, and that's kind of what we're anticipating. When we come back from the break, I'm going to speak a few minutes about the yield curve, and then we'll do the numbers.
504-260-0995, or you can give us a call or send us a text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. An inverted yield curve means that short-term interest rates are higher than longer-term ones. The inverted yield curve is what happens when investors are bidding for longer-term bonds, thus driving down their yields because they're pessimistic about the short-term prospects of the economy. And as far as what we had on December 3rd is the yield curve inverted a little bit for the first time since the 2008 recession. The yield on the five-year note, 10-year treasury of 2.83 was 1 basis point lower than the yield of 2.84 on a three-year note. Got a quote here from The Balance. And so why does the yield curve invert? As investors flock to long-term treasury bonds, the yield on those bonds fall. There's a, you know, that's kind of sign. You see interest rates move down on treasuries, it's because money's flowing in. And if money's flowing out, the yield goes up to try to attract money if it's not flowing, meaning treasuries aren't being bought. So they are in demand. So they don't need as high a yield to attract investors. The demand of short-term treasury bills falls. They need to pay a higher yield to attract investors. Eventually, the yield on the short-term treasury rises higher than the yield on the long-term bonds, and the yield curve inverts. So typically you kind of have that as a warning signal, like it's like that yellow flashing light. Be careful with this intersection, you know, that sign, not the light at the intersection, it's the light before it saying could be a problem ahead, is the way you need to look at that. just kind of food for thought when we're kind of flashing that. And we had to call our Saturday show comment about us talking about the caution sign several weeks back as one of the things that gives us pause on what's coming there. So let's go ahead and talk about the numbers.
Let's do it.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment. It's where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning at life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs I'm looking at. Go to winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app, and it's Blake Shelton Red Day is what it is. Red all the way around, and all at about the same tick. The Dow Jones was down 3.1%, S&P down 3.25%, NASDAQ down 3.8%, Russell down 4.4%.
You know, let's give numbers, percentages. That's sometimes when we're talking about somebody's risk number and kind of say, well, you know, I don't mind a 3% movement. Well, but when you put it into real dollars, and let's just say 5% on a million, you know, that's, oh, I can tolerate a 5% movement. I said, well, you do know that is $50,000. That gets real when you say that in numbers instead of a percentage, because yeah, the Dow, it just, you know, moved 3.1% negative. The Dow moved 799.36 down.
Sounds a little bigger when you say it,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, $799. The NASDAQ moved down 283 compared to its number. Last was 7,158, so it took 283 points to get down to that. That is 3.8%. How about that Russell of an index that's in the ballpark of 1,500? It closed at 1,480.75. That is a 68.21 change, which equates to 4.4%. You know, when percentages just makes, oh, yeah, but it's $50,000, and I saw on here your income annually is $45,600 a year. Whoa.
Takes a year off of your life, basically. Yeah. That's what you lost, yeah, today.
So just, you know, think about it in dollars. Like, oh, percentage. No, we like to talk about it. And I'll mention the percentage, but really we're wanting to talk about the dollar figures. We want it to be real. Why do we talk about risk? What's your risk number? What's your tolerance? Is what we're experiencing here, not just today, but last week, the week before, and the week before that. Oh, and October. We're in December. We've been experiencing this high volatility for 2 months now. And I have concern that it's going to continue. So this gets very real, very quick. And that's why you need to understand what is your tolerance. And if you're in 100% equities or your 401k is 100% equities, I wonder why it is. You've been listening to the show for a while. And, you know, it goes back to kind of that old 50-50 rule. I like using it a lot. Either Greg's 50% wrong or Gregory's 50% right. And you could either be happy or glad that you were 50% lighter in equities there. Gosh, Gregory was right. I'm so glad I sold off 50% of the portfolio. Or Gregory was wrong. I'm glad I kept 50 so I can push back in as well. 10-year treasuries, 2.912. You know, this is one of my cautionary things as well. You know, a client asked me today because I kind of was coming in for reviews and such. Had a kind of number of those today. And it was kind of the discussion. I just updated on what they're seeing. I showed the charts, showed where we, some early in the year history, and compared it and just the timing of everything and why I think it might move lower. And then my concern about 10-year treasuries, not too long ago, we're at 3.22 on a 10-year, and now we're at 2.912. Yeah. Is that bad? I think so. Well, it means bond rates and such have moved down. So some people will see that as a positive. As a money manager, I have concern. We were in better shape if 10-year treasuries are above 3%. Crude oil's at $52.72 a barrel. Brent crude, $61.43. So it's cheap oil, cheap gas.
I am just floored by how much it's fallen in the last month.
Yeah, you talked about it at the beginning of the show. So what was the low prices you saw in the area?
$1.99 on the North Shore.
Wow.
Yeah, someone sent a picture and I saw it online.
Well, I know I filled up with premium in the truck yesterday and it was like $2.40. I was like, gosh, that's nothing for premium.
Dancing fuel. In the street.
Yeah, it's like, fine, I'll take that. Gold, $1,241.60. So, you know, gold standpoint is it's not too worried at that price. And silver's under 15. It's at $14.56, meaning it hasn't been above 15 lately, but it's just kind of that thing, you know. It's like saying gold. Well, gold's under 1,300. I mean, it's been under 1,300 an ounce for a while.
Now, here's something super frustrating. You go look at the short sheet. Everything's red except for one stock, Gregory.
P&G?
No, it's not on the short sheet, but maybe that should be on the short sheet. The only piece of green, Tesla. What is going on with these people? They're starting to tick me off. What are y'all doing?
I was reading an article about an investment firm that had went and looked at the factory and said it's a mess. Might be part of the reason they hadn't met production goals, but, you know. And they had some systems they had built at factory conveyor system and all had to be taken out, scrapped, and they're manually putting all the parts, supplies to put on the cars or manually put into position. Yeah, I think they've got a lot of efficiencies, but they said, but we still think they're going to build more cars and they're going to get to over $500 a share. Well, I'm not on that boat with them. I'm not anywhere on any type of Tesla boat.
How does the tent assembly line work when it's winter? Because I know
it's
got to be super cold everywhere else. All their tent places are in California. Didn't they have one that was in Michigan or something?
Well, this one they keep talking about is in California.
Okay. Well, they'll swing by on that one. But if they're in Michigan or something, you might as well close that down.
That is not working in Michigan.
All right, we got to run.
Hey, if you'd like some help, some guidance, thoughts, second opinion, and we're kind of in this world in this time of concerns, second opinion, or do you need an alternative to risk? Hey, let's have a conversation. My office number is 504-832-9200. And of course, you remember GregoryRicks.com.
We have our next Gregory Ricks Live coming up January 16th. That's a Wednesday. You might want to go ahead and reserve your seat before it fills up. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.